Up the greeting time. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Great to see all of you here today. Today we get to step into the shoes of a miserable millionaire. And of course, as we do that, as you can well expect, Jesus has some life-giving words to offer to us in terms of our priorities. It's not just about the miserable millionaire. It obviously is going to come back to us. And as a way of introducing our main character from our scripture today, I'd like to offer the following description from a pastor and commentator by the name of Ray Pritchard. And I love how he introduces this character. He says, once there was a young man with big dreams about the future. He was 20 or 25, or he might have been 30 years old. Not much older than that, though. His name is unknown, so we might consider calling him Benjamin, or Ben for short. We can imagine Ben was a tiger, a go-getter, a man on the way to the top. And although we can't be sure, perhaps, maybe, Ben had made his money in real estate, which is one of the best ways to make money if you know what you're doing. He knew what he was doing. Limited partnerships, condos, syndications, buy low, sell high, right? That's the mantra, right? Turn swampland into high-rise apartments. He made a lot of money at a very young age, and he had risen to the top of his corporation. And yet, he still felt empty. Anybody relate to that? Yeah. Now, this rising star was very religious. Ben believed in God, and he believed in God's word. The Ten Commandments were his law and his way of life. And unlike so many other baby boomers, he didn't forget the Almighty on his corporate rise to the top. He prayed, he read the scripture, he truly tried to do the right thing. It's kind of sounding like maybe some of us to some degree, right? Ben was a moral man with a capital M. He didn't steal or cheat to get to the top, and he didn't sleep around either. He was a straight arrow in a crooked world. He was a true believer. He was a hard worker. A combination that, of course, in our world often leads to worldly success, right? And still, he was empty on the inside. Something was missing. He didn't know what that something was, but he knew he wasn't all that he could be. Something was missing. One day, that young man went to see a man who was a carpenter from Galilee named Jesus. This young man who was at the top of his game, with all the money that we could imagine that we might want, a man who had it all, came to Jesus with this penetrating question. Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Ben wanted eternal life, and his heart told him that his money and his religion were not enough. Amen, right? Mm-hmm. Just remember, this is going to come back to us, right? The conversation that he had with Jesus evidently made a tremendous impact on the early church, because it was repeated not just once, not twice, but three times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Very informative to the early church and to us today. So in honor of God's word, I'm going to ask all of us to stand as I read from Matthew's account of this story in chapter 19, verses 16 through 26. Just then, a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He inquired. Jesus replied, You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. May those who have ears to hear the word of the Lord this morning. You may be seated. Now, if those of you in the back, it's kind of small, can see this, can anybody tell me what I'm holding? Paperclip. It's a paperclip. Anything else you can tell me about this paperclip? It's red. It's a red paperclip. Okay. Right answer. Let me ask, what is this red paperclip worth? It's worth paper. Okay. Holds up craft sticks, so it has functional, so it has worth in terms of like its function. Mm-hmm. What else? What else is?
Things organized.
Keeps things organized, okay. Anything else about what it's worth?
Trade up here,
make them
buy a house.
Yeah. What else do you think it is?
Keep something together.
Keep something together, good. Alright.
Separate.
Now, keep things separate and organized?
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Alright. Now, it is true, some people may be familiar about what this paperclip is really worth, and it was mentioned earlier. What if I told you that it was worth a 2-story farmhouse in good condition? Let me think about that. Let me think about it. A 2-story farmhouse that's in good condition. What's the catch? Now, I might be able, if I talked about it long enough, to convince some of you that may not, you know, have thought about this, that, you know, stretch your imagination and, you know, resist that inner voice. But you're basically going to say, I'm not going to believe it until you prove it to me, because there's just something not right about that. I've lived long enough to know there's a catch here, right? Otherwise, I'm just going to stick with my impossible. That's just impossible that it could be worth that. Well, I accept that challenge for those of you that might still be in that condition. Be prepared to have your mind blown by the power of what people can do. All right, you're looking at this little photo up here. Okay, so in 2005, a Canadian by the name of Kyle McDonald was stuck in a dead-end job and had very little money. He decided to go online and see what he could trade for a red paperclip he had lying around, just like this one right here. First, he traded it for a fish-shaped ink pen, which he then traded for a doorknob, which he traded for a Coleman stove. He traded the Coleman stove for a Honda generator, which he traded for a keg of beer and an electric Budweiser sign. He traded the keg and the sign for a snowmobile. And so it continued. Exactly 1 year and 14 trades later, he exchanged an acting part in a movie for this that you see on the screen, 2-story farmhouse in Kipling, Saskatchewan, in Canada. You can find that story, as someone obviously has already read online. Just look up One Red Paperclip. It's the title of Kyle's book that he wrote, From a Red Paperclip to a 2-Story House. We might say, that is impossible. We're looking at the reality, it is not impossible. This is just an example of what human imagination, ingenuity, and persistence can do. We go, wow, mind-blowing, right? That's the power of human ingenuity and what we can do as people. It's also a deceptive power. People can do a lot of things that initially seem impossible, right? We're looking at it in many others. People can accumulate wealth in seemingly impossible ways. But when people, or when we, want to capture abundant life and eternal riches that begin today, not sometime in the future, that is impossible apart from God. It is impossible when our hands are full of things and priorities that we're unwilling to let go of. So here's the message today. Every day, we can capture God's offer of a rich life as we offer our empty hands. That's what I'm going to be driving home today. Our story of Ben, this rich young ruler, as I mentioned earlier, is in three of the four Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And each version has a slight different variation of this story, and we tend to blend the three stories into one composite story, putting all the details together. All three Gospels are consistent. They all tell us that the man was rich. It's only Matthew, our passage today, that mentions that he was young. That's how we know he was young. And only Luke says that he was a ruler. That's why we say rich young ruler. Let's go back and read the first part of the story again. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me what is good?" Jesus replied. "There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder, not commit adultery, you shall not steal, not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Now, in Mark's gospel, that we're not reading today, he provides us with a very interesting and revealing detail about how Ben came up to or approached Jesus that Matthew refers to here. Mark tells us that this man ran up to Jesus and fell on his knees before him. Oh, I'm getting a little more detail about the picture here, right? I love how this one commentator, Rusty Edwards, he kind of describes that whole scene, kind of gives us the picture of who this guy is and what this whole story, the interaction, context. He says, "We do not know how this man learns that Jesus is somehow in that area, but he must have found out when it was almost too late. So his only choice is to take off running to try and catch Jesus, which means he hiked up his tunic, showed a little leg, maybe kicked off his sandals, and he ran through his village." Okay? Now, running back then was an undignified act. You didn't put on your little Nikes and, you know, "I'm cool," right? Okay? And it was even more shocking when we learned this man had great wealth. Rich men did not go running in the first century through these little villages. It just didn't happen. Okay? Unless they're being chased by a tiger or bear or something. This man wanted to see Jesus and did not care what others thought of him in the process. Got the picture here? Okay? Then he kneels before Jesus. He's not like, in contrast to the many other stories where the Pharisees are sort of standing there questioning Jesus, we so often hear of. And he does not come and try to test Jesus with trick questions, right? This man is seeking Jesus, and when he finds him, he's panting, he's out of breath, and he kneels before him. Okay? There's kind of a lot to like about this guy at this point. Right? I mean, who doesn't like this guy? And then he asks that well-known question, "What good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Now, sadly, in the Christian church and culture, the term eternal life is often either minimized or misunderstood. For example, if you were to ask the average Christian, and maybe for some of you here, to sort of define what eternal life is. If I say, well, what is eternal life? We'd get different answers. But one of the common ones is something along the lines of, well, eternal life is living forever. Kind of makes sense. Eternal life, live forever, right? I mean, you just kind of put the two words together. It must mean that, right? In other words, that definition is all about saying the eternal life is about the quantity of living forever, right? Okay. And then if you were to ask, well, when does that eternal life begin? Often we'll hear, well, that eternal life begins when you die. But that's really not the primary meaning of this term that's being used here and in many other places throughout the New Testament. The original Greek word, the original language it was written in, the word was called zoe, all right, which was different than bio, where we get biology and that kind of a thing. And it refers to quality of life, not quantity of life. Let me say that together. Quality of life, not quantity of life. Eternal life, used in this way, is a real, abundant, fulfilling, satisfying life, and it begins when we decide to follow Jesus. Jesus said in another place, he said, I have come that they may have life. And when he said that, I have come that they may have zoe, abundant life, not bio, as in biology, like quantity of life, abundant life, okay? And have it to the full. And not just in the future, but right now. Jesus was constantly talking about the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. This is not something you just wait for until after you die. We're just biding our time here as followers of Jesus. Someday we're going to get to that eternal life, quantity of life thing, and it's all going to happen then. He was constantly talking about now, right? And then, of course, in answer to this question, well, how do I get this eternal life? Jesus doesn't beat around the bush with his answer, right? He says, if you want to enter life, keep the commandments, and of course he's referring to the Ten Commandments, that's how he would have understood that. So what's really going on here? Well, in one sense, using kind of thinking in our own modern culture, this first century yuppie wants what so many people and so many of us want today. He wanted a list. Some of us like lists. Give me a list of the things I need to do to make sure I get into God's kingdom. Right? Wouldn't that be easy? It's like, okay, everybody, forget the sermon. Okay, here's the list. Okay, here's your list. Just go ahead and keep that list, and we're all good to go, right? And then I'll just sort of check it off. Do this, do that. And when I get to the bottom of the list, I'll know that I've earned eternal life. Now, most of us have been in church long enough, you know, well, Dennis, I know that's not right. You can't earn. I mean, Jesus did it all on the cross. I can't earn it, whatever. But in terms of how we live our life, there's a part of us that kind of ends up living that way, right? We think it's about following, you know, if I do these good things, then somehow I've completed the list, kind of like Ben in our story. So Jesus says, well, fine, if you want a list, I'll give you a list. You want a list? I'll give you a list. Here's my list. It's called the Ten Commandments, all right? And why don't you just try keeping those perfect for just a little while? And if you keep those Ten Commandments perfect, well, when you get to the end of that, you'll be okay. But you got to keep them perfectly, right? Now, Ben is kind of young, and he's pretty confident, and he says, well, I've done all that, so I know I'm still missing something, so what am I missing? So, yes, we can look at his life, and we can understand, on the outside, he probably looked pretty good from what we know about Ben. You know, the way he was living his life and those kinds of things. I'm sure he didn't murder people, and I'm sure a lot of, on the outside, what he was doing looked good, kind of like many of us here today, right? But Jesus says, in essence, wait a second, Buster. You're not as hot as you think you are. And then Jesus drops this bombshell on him. He says, go sell your possessions. And then notice those verbs I've underlined for us there. Go, sell, give, come, follow. Jesus says, if you want abundant, eternal, fulfilling life, this is what you've got to do. Sell everything. Give what you have to the poor, then come follow me. Now, for those of us that are really wrestling with this again this morning, if we're honest, we take these words seriously, this can be a little unnerving. It has been throughout the history of the Christian church and Christians today. It's like, well, what is he really getting at here? So some people have taken it, you know, literally. It's like, okay, well, to be a Christian, you know, A plus B equals C, I must not have any possessions and sell them all, because this is the only story in the Bible. But the problem is that this wasn't the only story in the Bible, and this was not the only interaction that Jesus ever had with people, and so we have to sort of take that in context. We can't take the story and say it's the only story. So, if we take a look at this in context, we recognize that this is the only time that Jesus ever spoke these words as a specific condition for eternal life. So we have to keep that in mind. He didn't go around constantly telling everybody, hey, look, you want to follow me? Go sell your possessions. You want to follow me? Go sell your possessions. He didn't do that consistently. Why wasn't Jesus consistent? Wouldn't that make this a lot easier? We wouldn't even have, I mean, we could just read our Bibles and we wouldn't need any commentary about it and think about it, right? But he didn't do that. So there was variation. So why did he speak these words to Ben? Well, because that's where Ben had the problem, right? Ben looked good probably on the outside, but on the inside, Ben was totally controlled by the love of money. And of course, Jesus knew his heart. He knew what was going on inside. And so Jesus was saying, if you want to be totally and completely full of the kind of life that I'm offering, you're going to have to break the stranglehold of money in your life and possessions and the stuff. And so Jesus invites him. He invites him, let go of it all. Let go. Let go. And then, of course, what is he inviting you and me to let go of today, right? Again, my message today is every day we can capture God's offer of a rich life as we offer our empty hands. So the offer is made. What does Ben do with the invitation? When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. And then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, well then, who can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now, like many of us, we can relate. We can step into the shoes of this miserable millionaire. Ben did so many things right, like many of us. He came at the right time when he was young. He came in the right attitude. He was running and he was kneeling. He was sincere in his request. He was seeking the right thing. He was seeking abundant, eternal life, right? And he came to the right source, right? Who did he come to? He came to Jesus. He came to the right source, right? But he ended up walking away sorrowful. Why? Because he was having a difficult time letting go of his earthly wealth. In other words, his hands were gripping tightly. They were full, using the metaphor, and it was painful to even think about emptying his hands. And if we start to think about it ourselves, we can easily relate to Ben, right? And then Jesus uses this moment as a teaching opportunity for his disciple with a powerful image. He uses a hyperbolic, ridiculous image many of us are familiar with to make his point. He says, look at a camel and look at an eye of a needle. It is easier to get that big, ugly camel through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the abundant life of God's kingdom here on earth in the future. We can understand that because we can all relate to that in one degree or another. Many of us have loosened our grip on, well, some of us, maybe it's like almost complete, our hands are completely empty. And then others of us, when we look at it, it's like, hey, I kind of relate to Ben here, right? Why is this so difficult? Because wealthy people, and I could go on and on about how basically we're all wealthy here, if we wanted to, depends on who you want to compare yourself to. Compared to maybe Bill Gates, you know, the founder of Microsoft, one of the top 1, 2, 3, I don't know where his position is, richest people in the world, we all go, oh, I mean, the guy's wealthy. Who am I? Right? I mean, look at my bank account. It's nothing compared to that. Oh, but then we start thinking about, as we know, many of us thought about this, the literally not that thousands or millions, but literally billions of people who literally I can safely say, and it didn't matter who walked in the door here today, have way less. And they look to every single one of us here in the room and they go, wow, you guys are wealthy. What are you talking about? Right? It's all about the comparison, right? It's easy for the poor person to be saved. Why? Because the poor person says, if Jesus doesn't come through for me, I'm completely sunk. I got no other options, right? And a wealthy person tends to think or say or believe inside, if Jesus doesn't come through for me, well, that's not good, but, you know, it's okay. I've got my pension, maybe. I've got my stocks or bonds, however small they may be. I've got my options. I've got my little golden parachute, maybe, whatever that might look like, and family members. I've got my little safety net. If Jesus doesn't come through, the wealthy person says, well, it doesn't quite fully matter because I can take care of things myself. I can, in essence, save myself. And that's the problem any of us with wealth, and we all are wealthy, have. And that's how it can become a problem in our life, because then we start trusting in that rather than Jesus, because we have our safety net, we think, in our finances. So back into our story. Next slide, Jeremy, if we can get to that. That's why Jesus says, with people and their own abilities, as powerful as they are, when we think about the red paperclip, right? Powerful abilities that we have. What we're talking about here in letting go of riches in this way makes no sense. It's foolishness. You cannot, we cannot do it apart from God. It's impossible. But the good news is that with God, which is the message here today, all things, including emptying our hand in this way, is possible. But without Him, we won't let go. So what did this rich young man do after he walked away? Ever thought about that? Christian tradition, understandably, has assumed he went away sorrowful because he was not going to do what Jesus asked him to do. So that's one end of the story. He's sorrowful. I'm not going to let go of the stuff that I have as much as, Jesus asked me to. I'm not going to do it. Walked away and that was it, right? That's one ending of the story, right? But we don't know that. What if he was grieving because he was thinking about and he was going to and he did end up selling those possessions and giving to the poor, and he knew that that was going to be a really painful thing to do, and he needed just a little bit of time to think about that, but he knew that's what he was going to do. That's entirely possible as well. The beauty of the story is that ending is left up to us. We get to write that ending, which is important because we get to write the ending that maybe we need to hear ourselves about really how the story ends. Every day we can capture God's offer of a rich life as we offer our empty hands. Now, I'd like to try to make this message very practical today. So, if you're kind of daydreaming right now, now's the time to sit up, pay attention. For those of you who are willing and able, I'm giving that qualifier there, I'm going to invite all of us at this point to find our wallet or our purse and to raise it up so everyone can see. If you're willing and able. Now I want us all to pay attention to and to observe really deep down how we might be feeling at this moment. Yes. So you can, if it's getting heavy, you can go ahead and put that down. I want you to hang on to it. I want you to hang on to it though. You can put it on your lap. Yeah, exactly. We might be feeling some anxiety about what I might be asking us to do next, right? What's Dennis going to ask us to do next best on this message, right? Now, for those of us that might be acknowledging that we're feeling a little bit uneasy right now, maybe this helps us to relate a little bit to Ben, to get just a little bit in touch with Ben. And maybe our nervousness tells us a little bit about our relationship with money. And it's not about a black and white. There's in between, right? And maybe we have a tighter grip on wealth than what we'd like to admit. And today is a great day to loosen that grip with God's help so that we might be able to capture the abundant life that He offers us. It really is a simple message, but really hard to apply. And it's not just about, oh, I've learned how to give my money away or what have you. We're all still wrestling with this. You can go ahead and put those down as you're reflecting on this. Whew, glad Dennis didn't do what I thought he was going to ask us to do. Yeah, but you know what? I don't need to do that. Because you see, all I have to do is proclaim God's word. And the Holy Spirit is working far more powerful than anything that I might ask you to do. That's the good news. Now, last illustration. Many of us are familiar with the popular Indiana Jones movies starring Harrison Ford. The Last Crusade, the title of that movie, was the third of four movies in that series. And it was the movie where Indiana and his dad, played by Sean Connery, they are crisscrossing the world and the globe in search of the Holy Grail. They spend most of that two-hour movie overcoming many challenges and obstacles to find the long-lost cup or chalice that was supposedly, according to legend, from the Last Supper, which we're going to be celebrating here shortly, and became known as the Holy Grail. Okay? So you imagine crisscrossing the globe looking for this, right? And near the end of the movie, so they're really passionate about it, right? At the end of the movie, Indiana's dad, they finally discover this golden cup, only to have it to fall into the wrong hands. Let's watch that scene from the movie where Indiana's dad echoes the words of Jesus. Let's play it. Great message. It's the message from Jesus we get to learn through Ben this morning. Let it go. Let it go. And even if you've already learned to some degree to let it go, for all of us here in the room, I can pretty safely say there's more to let go. We can let go of more. The choice is ours. And we don't just let go without God's wisdom and his discernment, but it's a hard attitude. It's a hard attitude that we think about and we seek God about. It's a choice, and when we make that choice, Jesus is right there, just like in that movie. Jesus is right there, ready to lift us to freedom and life. Am I going to grab that chalice, that shiny object, whatever that may be, or am I going to let it go and trust Jesus to bring me back to life, eternal life, abundant life, the kind of life that makes life worth living, so that we don't become miserable millionaires. And in one sense, we're all millionaires compared to billions of people on this planet. So we can all easily step into Ben's shoes. Every day, we can capture God's offer of a rich life as we offer our empty hands. I'm going to ask June to come on up. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we confess to you today that all of us, to one degree or another, have or are currently holding on to things in this life that are distracting us and keeping us from experiencing the full, abundant life that you have come to offer. Lord, maybe we've experienced that in the past and we've allowed it to creep back in. Lord, we recognize that apart from you, we can't do this on our own. We're going to just grab as much as we can grab. We need your help. We desperately need you. Lord, and I'm asking you will help each of us to really hear your still small voice and to speak to us, each of us, to recognize what we might need to let go of because we desperately need your help. Lord, we don't want to be miserable millionaires. We want to be people who experience the life that you gave your life for. We don't want to waste that, what you did on the cross. We want our lives to count, to glorify you, and to represent the kind of life that you lived here on earth. So Lord Jesus, come and save us from ourselves. Help us, Lord. We pray all of this in your name, Lord Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. June, if you come